As I always do, I look over the scriptures for the following Sunday that I'm going to preach on, along about Monday or so, and then I think about it the rest of the week. But after I had read these readings and prayed over them and thought about them for a while, it wasn't luck, it wasn't good fortune, it wasn't an accident. It was, I think, the grace of God that in preparing a homily to preach on Wednesday at the Mass I celebrated at the hospital, the first reading was taken from the book of Exodus, chapter 34. Let me share just some of that with you this morning. You can find it in your Bibles, Exodus 34. Then the Lord said to Moses, write down these words, for in accordance with these words I have made a covenant with you and with Israel. As Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the covenant in his hands, he did not know that the skin of his face had become radiant while he spoke with the Lord. When Aaron then and the other Israelites saw Moses and noticed how radiant the skin of his face had become, they were afraid to come near him. Only after Moses called to them did Aaron and all the leaders of the community come back to him. Later, all the Israelites came up to him and enjoined on him all that the Lord had told him on Mount Sinai. When Moses finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. Whenever Moses entered the presence of the Lord to speak with him, he removed the veil and he came down again. That radiant transfiguration of Moses on Mount Sinai is very much the image that Matthew has in mind as he wrote the account of the transfiguration. It's an interesting account of not only the radiance of Jesus, which is kind of not all that important at all. What's really important is that Moses is there, Moses and Elijah. What is that all about? Moses and Elijah are figures of all the revelation that God had provided his people Israel. Everything that God wanted his people to know, his people in the Hebrew scriptures, the Israelites, his chosen people, everything he wanted them to know has been revealed to them or had been revealed to them in the person of Moses and the prophets, symbolized by Elijah. Moses was that great leader, the great savior of his people, who led them out at God's command from the slavery of Egypt, from the darkness of Egypt, from the oppression of Egypt, to life and light and promise and a new land. Jesus becomes the same person for you and me in the Christian scriptures. Everything that God wants you and me to know, not everything we'd like to know, but everything we need to know, is found in the Lord Jesus. Everything we need to know is revealed to us in Jesus. That has to be the focus of our lives, as we sang in the opening hymn this morning. The words of Jesus, folks, that's what our life is all about. The words of Jesus. I spend my time focusing on what Jesus said, focusing on what I find in the Bible. With other people tell me they've received in some sort of private revelation, well, so be it. I don't pay a bit of attention to it. Never have, and I don't intend to start. What's important is what Jesus has told us, the revelation we have in him. And it's the fullness of revelation. It's everything that God wants us to know. Not everything we'd like to know, but lots of stuff we don't need to know. We'll get along quite well without that information. The mistake I think that some people make, and some of them are my brother priests, is they act like they know what they don't know. I think, for example, on the Feast of the Blessed Trinity, how many priests talked about the Blessed Trinity as though they knew what that was all about? It's the biggest mystery of faith. Why don't you just stand here and say, I don't understand it at all, and neither do you, and sit down. Trying to explain the Blessed Trinity is a hopeless exercise. You can't explain a mystery. We just believe it. The fullness of what Jesus had to say. And that was a problem. That particular passage, the Transfiguration passage, comes in the Bible right after Peter had answered a question. Jesus said, hey folks, he's talking to his disciples, who do people say that I am? And Peter says, oh, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And from that time on, Jesus began to show the disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer greatly from the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. God forbid, Lord, no such thing shall ever happen to you. He turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an obstacle to me. You are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do. Then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For the Son of Man will come with his angels and his Father's glory, and then he will repay everyone according to his conduct. Amen, I say to you. There are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Kind of the remarkable thing to me is to reflect on that person of Peter. That's not going to happen. You're not going to suffer and die on a cross. No way. And Jesus said, oh, yes, I am. That's the same Peter who wrote in the second reading, we have been eyewitnesses of his majesty. With that unique declaration, this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. And then he says, you will do well to be attentive to it. That whole message of Jesus, that's what we have to listen to. That's what we have to be attentive to. And in the Catholic tradition, we very much are aware that this Jesus, this new Moses, is indeed our Savior. And what does that mean, that he is our Savior? It means that by his suffering, death, and resurrection, he has taken away sin. We are sinners, but forgiven. Now, there are some, I've met a few Catholics in my life who walk around this world with their head bowed down to the earth, striking their breast. Oh, how terribly bad I am, what a great sinner I am. God will never forgive me, and I say, oh, baloney. That's not our Catholic tradition at all. We are a forgiven people. Sinful sinners forgiven. That's what salvation is all about. A graced people, a people full of life, headed to glory because of the resurrection. We firmly believe that beyond that act of Savior, because of it, we always have to work for justice. We have to work for peace. We have to acknowledge, on the one hand, that the dominion, glory, and kingship belongs to Jesus, but at the same time, we have to serve him. It all goes together. Well, just this past week, I also work at Garnan Funeral Home, and one of the morticians and I were sitting there jabbering, just waiting for a family to come in for make arrangements, but in any case, we were just talking. And he said, you know, as I go to all these churches in town or in the county having funeral services, it strikes me that they all come up with the same Bible passages that the Catholics do. We all come up with the same thing and say very much the same thing. Except, he says, that group of folk who are really in tune to glory bands and glory music, and we don't identify totally with that. You see, the fastest growing church in the United States is precisely that group. That group of folk who talk about glory of Jesus at the right hand of his Father. This Jesus who's going to come in glory to take us with him. The glory and majesty and dominion of his kingdom. It's all about the glory of Jesus, and we believe that, but that's not all we believe. And that's where the separation comes. There's a whole package of stuff we believe about Jesus besides his coming in glory. We believe that. We believe also that we are his servants. We believe also that we have to take up our cross. We believe also that we have to work for justice, that we have to be a people attentive to his word. We hear all of those ideas expressed for us from Daniel this morning, in the psalm, in Peter. Peter didn't want to listen. He didn't listen to what Jesus had to say to him about suffering and death and the cross. He didn't want to embrace that at all. And that very scene is followed up by God's revelation of the Transfiguration. That important line, listen to him. If you don't get home with anything else this morning, listen to the word of God. Listen to Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life.